The weekly conversation with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, mission of Maitreya, eternal divine path. We will ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Those who have not gone to our website and do not know our teachings will not have mic privileges. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's, previous lectures, satsangs, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room, Discourses by Maitreya, God's Word Continuously. Religious Group Section. Shalom.
Shalom, everyone. Let us start in the name of the Most High, the Compassionate, the Merciful, the Creator, God, the Revealer of the Truth, that have sent all the revelations from God to humanity. And now, of course, we can see that many things is happening on earth that has never happened before, and the intensity of the things is happening should make those who are sensitive enough to see that something is going on earth. And always after coming of the revelation, especially after completion of the last revelation of God, humanity is the time of awakening and realizing that they have to recognize God's way, which is the most natural way and brings the greatest unity and peace to humanity. One of the things humans have to really learn is to learn how to respect one another and create greater respect and understanding for each other. And the children should be taught from the very beginning how to do that and how we can bring a greater peace and unity to humanity if humans learn to accept each other, and especially those who are godly, they should be respected in a greater degree, and also others guided to become godly and respected to each other. This is one of the problems, is really getting worse every day on earth. And what is happening now, comparison with 50 years ago, people are not as much, you know, polite and respectful as they used to be. So that's one of the things really will help humanity to come in a greater degree together. And of course, in the communities of light, this is easier to be done. And as we create the communities more and more, we can learn how to create that kind of environment that everybody feels that they are not disrespected or not put down. And of course, they will not do that to the other people either. And eventually, we can have an environment that the relationships are based in a greater degree of understanding and higher level of human being instead of lower level of backbiting and bickering and things that create bad environment for living and being together. And this, of course, will happen for sure as we go along, and we will see that in order to bring peace, we can become greater, in a greater degree, godly, and let the Spirit of God come through, and therefore we can see the essence of God in every man and woman. Therefore, that respect has to be there, because we polish them, we accept them, we try to see that beauty in them, and therefore they can eventually manifest it through themselves, and then essence can shine through. Of course, this room is for conversation about the mission of Maitreya. Idea is everybody should go to our website and study our teachings and come here and we can discuss this new revelation together. The base of the revelation is the eternal divine path, which based in a visual aid called the greatest sign or Shri Shri Paramaha Yantra. Yantra means a visual aid to recognize in a spiritual concept. And of course, eternal divine path is the greatest concept anybody can understand in a spiritual world and bring together the manifestation of the kingdom of God on earth. The kingdom of God is based on the communities of light which follow the eternal divine path. If you understand our teaching in a greater degree, you can see the perfection of the revelation of God and how it covers every aspect of human beings. The only thing really left is for human to see this perfection and bring to their lives and come together and create the facilitating body that will help this revelation to manifest on earth. Of course, creation of the 12 unit in the Communities of Light, the ideal manifestation of the Communities of Light and the base of the hierarchy. But before that manifestation come to existence, any leaders who will emerge from any community will be accepted as representative for those people and humanity. Therefore, we work for the ideal. Our approach is subjective approach with objective adjustment. That means we strive to bring the perfection and the ultimate manifestation of the mission, but we adjust ourselves to the situation we are in at this time, at this moment. And then we try and strive to adjust our situation more and more according to the words of God and the teaching and coming closer to the mission and following what is being recommended and revealed to humanity more and more to a point that eventually we can say, yes, I am following God in a greater degree and my being is manifesting His truth and reality, not my own idea, my culture's idea, my human understanding, but God's understanding. That's what we have to bring to humanity, and humanity have to start to see the ways of God, the natural way. Humanity have gone way off and away from the natural way of living, and indeed some of them have become so unnatural that the natural life seems strange to them anymore. Now, of course, the result of living unnaturally is always leading to breakdown of a spirit in society, and of course, when a spirit leaves a society, they might gain the world but lose their souls, and as Christ said, that is not a good bargain. But when the coming of light, of coming of the kingdom, humanity have to strive not to lose their soul, no matter what the external world will offer us. We always have to realize and recognize that our goal is to have the Spirit of God with us and manifest it, and never let anything externally weaken that Spirit. Therefore, humanity is compromising the Spirit for gaining material thing, comfort, and everything that the external world is offering them, and more they are becoming unnatural and away from God and His ways. The natural way is the way nature is intended, things to be done and be. And one of them is communities. Community is the most natural way of living. If a system is based of breakdown of the community, which is based on the pure marriage of couples, then we will see the destruction will occur to and come to those societies and people. This is the lesson humanity have to see and learn all through history, that no matter how prosperous and powerful we might look, if we do not go to that basic natural way, we will lose. We will lose our spirit. We will lose connection to our essence. No matter how much we gain off-world, at the end, that is not a good bargain at all. First, the individual have to work for the marriage, for the community, for the relationship between man and woman, and creation of the family that brings wonderful children on earth. No matter how much intellectually we can discuss them, how much we try to say, no, that is not the way, we can do whatever we want, at the end, we will see. We can wait and see. And of course, some people say, no, we are doing just fine the way we are. But it is a lesson coming to humanity very clearly, and this truth they have to realize and understand, that there is two ways for every man and woman. Either they marry and create a place for the coming of light, or they dedicate their life to God and become a channel for Him to spread God's revelations and ways, or become sannyasin, or renunciate. And if we create more of these people, of course, we can create communities that has people who can bring the Spirit of God to them, and those are the sannyasins, those who have time to meditate, to connect themselves to Spirit, and always are there for other people to come to them if they become too busy with the world. They always have some people they're not. actually the whole base of the original marriage was that one person goes to work, another one stays home, so he or she will become calmer, more collected, and the other person goes to the world and come home or in an environment, he or she has some comfort or somebody at least that calmer and is more collected can bring in a greater degree a shock absorber to the relationship. The chemistry of light that can be done in a greater degree because 9-10 people can go work, 2-3 people can stay in the community and create that shock absorbing ability by being calm and more collected and away from the society. Because then you are with other people at work and society, a lot of people will affect you and mind will not be very calm. Mind is very absorbing thing and it become dirty and unclear and confused, especially if you're sensitive. If you have been meditating for many lifetimes and suddenly in this lifetime you have to go in the world and pick up a lot of energy out there and suddenly your mind is not calm anymore after a couple of hours of work and everything in this universe affects everything else. So, but if you stay home and you're collected and you're completely, you know, meditative and you're not in the society too much, at least few people or one person at home can come and they can help you be calm and collected. So you can see all the old system, natural system of God has broken down. And now it is our responsibility to see this subtle or subtle truth and bring them more and more in our life and in society, and not only in to our society but the whole societies on earth, so we can eventually see the ways of God, how He wants things to be done, how He created this universe and the world and the society to function correctly. It functions correctly when we create the chemistry of light, when the people start becoming helpful, polite, respectful to each other, and have the ability to put themselves in other people's shoes and see how they feel about the situation and more become closer to one another. But it seems I'm going to more detail today about things and stuff, the general things that we always discuss, because we have been talking about the coming of light in general, and we're talking about the coming of the kingdom. So these are more detail, and of course they say that the devil is in the detail. The general thing is easier to talk about and imagine about, but when it gets to detail, it means you have to get to the work. You have to really do it. The theoretical part of the mission is done. In theory, we have to create the chemistry of light. We have to create the hierarchy, the facilitating body. But in practice, we have to start respecting one another, become more dedicated, realizing natural way of God and the way He wants things to be done, and implementing in our life and create an environment that at least we affect some people around us. We can be the same as before and being rude and impolite or domineering and this and that, and still wanting to affect other people and create the comments of life. So it's more detailed today. Approaching the teaching and the discussion here. It is in detail that we have to work on ourselves. We have to work in our environment. And hopefully we can help other people also these things, but I have found that it's very hard to affect other people and change their ways. You know, maybe that is why it will take three incarnations to complete this revelation. We need to start the children from their very childhood to teach them to be polite, to be respectful, to be sharing. Teach them what is the dharma of each person, what's the dharma of man, what is the dharma of woman, what is the dharma of children, grandchildren, parents, grandparents, and how they are, each have a special dharma and way. And if all of us mix them together and we behave not the way the nature intended, of course, after a while, the children will not behave the way they should, and the whole society will not behave the way intended to behave, and so the whole base of the society will fall apart. These are the subtle things that we might not even think about them and accept the way things are. It's okay. Again, we should go back to God. What did He intend them to be? What is the dharma of children? What do they expect? How parents should behave that children become children? Is mother important to be present in bringing the child? Is the presence of father important in bringing up the child? Or they're not really necessary. We can do whatever we want and still think we can create obedient, intelligent children that they will bring a greater society in the future. What's the role of the grandparents? What's the role of the business, for example? What is the role of the business in the society? Or the government? Who is more important? The businesses or humanity or people? See, when a spirit leaves, everything falls apart. Everything is no longer function according to the dharma, the nature they have intended. Because the spirit is not there. The natural way, the essence is not there anymore. And if you study history, whenever this happens, of course, the destruction will come. So this revelation and these teachings is what will guide humanity to create a society based on the spirit and intended dharma for everything. Because what I say probably doesn't sound correct or does not even affect people who believe whatever they are or have or following is okay. But the truth is that these words are the truth of what is going to eventually be recognized, realized in the future. Because those who lose their essence, their spirit, will eventually fall, will eventually come to the place that they recognize and realize that, yes, indeed, we have to bring the natural order ways for everything, for society, for male, for female, for children, for grandchildren, for humanity, for marriage, for spirituality, for government, for business. At the same time, working ourselves. If humanity, of course, work in themselves and become closer and closer to their spirit, their environment is not going to affect them as much as it will affect those who are not in the spirit. The person who is in the spirit will not be swayed with a lot of advertisements and pushing of the ideas of the business people that you have to do this and you have to do that, you have to buy this and you have to buy this, you have to have this, because they know that is not a natural way to live. The natural way is, you know, good to eat good nutrition food. Can't go and eat unnutritional and commercialized food every day and expect not to get sick. You will resist the external world and what is in it. Sponsor is asking, what is a dharma? Dharma is the innate nature of everything in the universe. What is something is created for? Indeed, in the Bible, if you study Genesis, God didn't call anything by name. He asked Adam to call things. And Adam created name for things. God knows things by what they are intended to do in the creation. Because with the microphone in front of me, its dharma is to pick up my voice, digitize it, send it to the internet, and your microphone dharma is to, your computer dharma is to send it to your microphone so you can hear what I say. Now if I say, well, this microphone, I'm not going to use it for what is intended. I'm using it as a hammer. I'm going to hammer a nail to the wall. What's going to happen to the microphone? Not going to function after a couple of hard hit on a head of a nail. I have ruined something that's intended for a good thing, for a wonderful, you know, conversation about God, and therefore it will be destroyed. It's the same thing. What's the dharma of life? What is the goal of the life? So far humanity thought God came and said, everything be and was from nothing. That's where people are so confused. God is the creator. God created everything. If God created everything, why they are not perfect? God is supposed to be perfect, isn't it? If God is perfect, what he creates would be perfect as well. Why are they not? Why do we have wars, destruction? Why? Things get old, crooked, and eventually are destroyed. We have solved that problem. We have not been created. We have come from the essence. We have come from an state that we used to be in, in a state that there is no mind, in a state of equilibrium, state of absolute bliss. And instead of no question but being, and in a state that we don't remember anymore because we have amnesia to remember where we were. If we have come from that essence, we haven't been created. We have been there before. And that was our natural state of being. Now we have come to this life because of disturbance in that equilibrium, or the essence, or the beginning, and we came to existence. Therefore, this state we are in is not the natural state. Actually, this state is an artificial state. It's a relative truth compared with that essence we came from. And that's why the Bible very clearly says it begins with there was darkness in the deep. He didn't say God was happy and say, okay, I'm going to create a perfect creation. No, there was darkness in the deep. And God said, why? What happened to my body that now there is a darkness in part of it? And then he's a spirit to that darkness. And the Spirit of God moved over the waters. Consciousness. And went to that darkness and went through the eternal divine path. Actually, that is the symbolic meaning of Christ, of God coming to earth and manifesting himself into darkness. And that is the greatest sacrifice he does, because he has to come to the darkness and forego being in the essence and being in the bliss and coming to this world and dealing with the imperfection and relativity instead of absolute. So it comes and went through it. That is why this creation, the very essence of creation is darkness and destruction, has nothing to do with God. God didn't create wars. That God did not create destruction. So we can see now humanity can explain why this thing is happening. And now the way to prevent this, the way to create an environment that we can accelerate our progress toward going back to that unity and essence is given. And that is the creation of the community of light. That is the way of bringing the natural way of living and recognizing and realizing God's way, not man's way, because man lives in darkness. But man has something great, and that is the light shines in him. The light is in man. They have to recognize it and see it. And the way to do that is, of course, meditation, concentration, contemplation, and everything that directs your attention from external world to the internal world, and eventually one day you see that light. So that light is no longer in the darkness, because you have gone away from the darkness and you have seen the light. As more and more, of course, people see the light in themselves and they recognize that this external world is based on the darkness, and whatever destruction comes, it is not created by God, and they cannot blame God for it. But they should eventually start blaming themselves and look within themselves and say, well, I stopped blaming everything else out of me, and start looking within myself and see why things happening to me, and whatever happening to me is from me. It's not out there. So the process of meditation is being given to man. Actually, the most perfect process of meditation, and eventually recognizing that stillness, which indeed is the essence of man, is given to humanity for them to recognize that stillness. And the more people recognize that stillness, the less darkness we will have, and more Spirit of God will be manifested on earth. So really, we don't have an Eastern culture, or Western culture, or Southern culture, or Northern culture. All our essence is the same. There is no difference between us. The difference is the creation of the ego and darkness. And the sooner humanity recognize that they are from the same essence, the sooner they will create a culture and environment that they will not be so different because of what ego has created through history and years of suppression. Nature diversifies. For example, in two sides of the Grand Canyon, they have two kinds of squirrel, and each of them were together, you know, millions of years ago, and they were same kind of squirrel. They were divided by the river, and they evolved differently. Now we have two kinds of them. One is in the north, one is in the south. Same for cultures. Each of them evolve according to their environment for thousands and millions of years. And because humans have a greater brain and bigger ability to adapt and create their own environment, now we have some differences, you know, the cultural differences. But in order to overcome those differences, we have to come to our own essence and recognize that we are from the same spirit. And of course it's happening for sure. 15 years ago, Muslims and Christians and Jews and Hindus and Buddhists, they couldn't talk to each other very much. Each of them had their own concept and belief, and they never really discussed it with each other. Now we have internet, we have chat rooms, we have pal talk. Of course, right now they're yelling at each other because of their egos still. They do not want to accept the possibility of seeing that maybe the other person has some truth, some fact, some revelation. And of course, with this revelation, we have corrected all of their misunderstanding and misconception. But at least they're talking. At least they are yelling at each other. 15 years ago, they couldn't even yell at each other. So we can see eventually yelling hopefully will come to the point of reflection, and the point of reflection comes to a conclusion that, well, maybe none of us have the whole truth. Maybe each of us have just a part of the truth. And one day they talking of one of the divines in the mission, and that person tells him, you're right, you just have 1/7 of the truth, and that's why you have created so many dogmas and separative ideas. This is the whole truth. Now you can see why Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Christians, Jews, Baha'is, all of them have a part of a greater truth, and when you put them together, then you can see, again, you all are the children of the same spirit and one God. So the chaos eventually will lead to calmness and unity and perfection. So it is working toward that. But this chaos has nothing to do with God. God didn't create the chaos. Indeed, God is trying to help the darkness and chaos go back to the light. Brahmamurti is asking, treasure in heaven, will people who follow EDP eventually obtain access to the same wisdom as you, Maitreyaji? Yes, indeed. That is why these satsangs are given. That is why the process of meditation and stillness have been provided for you. That is why these guidelines are come to humanity. That is my hope, and that is God's goal, to create many sons of gods. You are in progress and march toward becoming the sons of gods. You are indeed people that bring the essence of God to humanity. You started by yourself, with yourself. I truly believe that those who are in the mission, they have been yogis for many lifetimes, they have meditated for many, many lives, they have been with great prophets in the past, they have helped them to write and spread the teachings of Zoroastrians, of Abraham. They have been with Christ, with Prophet Muhammad. They have been with the great prophets of the Old Testament. They have been with Bob. And therefore, they are great souls. The Maya, the attacking of the external world, is incredible at this time. Why you guys are not there like everybody else, following Maya and illusion of what the external world offers you? You are here to hear the word of God, this last revelation. I have great respect for you guys that you do that, instead of falling for that delusion that man has never been so engrossed in to this point. And the Maya has never been stronger than it is now. So that shows something. That shows that indeed, your souls are longing for something that you have experienced in previous lifetimes, and now these words are the word of wisdom to you, but probably gibberish to those who are in Maya and believe they know the truth and they are correct and they are right what they do. But of course, if you look at their lives, you will see with all the Mayaistic things they follow, it will not quench the longing for what they don't know even what it is. And they go from one affection of Maya to other for sensual gratification. And the sensual gratification becomes stronger. And they go even do even greater sensual gratification, because still it does not satisfy that infinite longing for the essence that they have come from and they don't even remember. Therefore, the conclusion is very clear. Those who really want the truth, they're great souls. They are willing and able to see the truth and accept it when even many spiritual paths and organizations who say they know God, even they appeal to ego of the people in those religions and organizations. But here, we are working to eliminate your ego and connect you to God. And many people even don't want that. That is the truth. So, you have the base of it. You have been meditating and progressing in a greater degree. Of course, now you have the whole picture and you are in a progress to become even a greater degree of seeing these wisdoms and the truth and the essence, and hopefully those who will stay in the mission, those who will continue meditating and following what has been revealed to them. The promise is, whoever overcometh will become my son. And this wisdom that you see coming through me, it of course is from the Spirit, it's from God. and the Son and the Father are one. And whatever Father knows, of course, He will reveal it to Son. And if you overcome and you become a son, of course, you will have the same understanding as Christ, as the Son of God. So I can promise you for sure, you will see these things clearly. You will recognize and realize the truth of God, and hopefully you will guide many to come to God and see this truth and wisdom, and we will create the comings of light. It will bring the kingdom of God on earth. But first we have to create the facilitating body. We have to create people who are dedicated in spreading the message and creating an organization not based on ego. We have many organizations based on ego. Why do we want to create another one? We want to create an organization which is not based on ego, but based on cooperation, coordination, egolessness, that each individual's dharma is recognized in this organization. What am I good? How can I help? What is the best place for me? Not that I want to be the president of the organization, I want to be the head of the organization. I want to have a lot of people underneath me. But what am I good at that will help this organization and the mission in a greater degree? What is my passion? What interests me greatly, that when I do, I am in peace, I am in God, I am in my essence, and I manifest greater thing. Not striving for your ego to be stroked, and always craving for those, you know, ego craving, but you really are who you really are created to be. That's exactly what Buddha was, you know, preaching about the Sangha and Dharma. Sangha means community, and Dharma means the inner nature of each person in that community. That's the community of light. I know we talk about the leaders and leaders and leaders and leaders, but that doesn't mean they are greater than a person who sweeps the floor and he or she does the best job possible in the universe, and a leader is greater than that person. Actually, I don't know if anybody heard, there was a person in New York, the only thing he wanted to do from the very childhood was to have one of those cars that sweep the streets. And eventually he became one of them, and he was happy all his life. That's the only thing he did. He swept the floors with those sweeping cars, and he died happy. That was his passion. That's what he was best at. That's what he accepted himself to be. That's why the happiness came to be for him. And he never looked back. That's all he wanted to do. So that is a part of meditation, prayer, fasting. Who am I? Why I've been put on this earth? What am I good at? How I can go and get to that essence, that passion that I've been created for? And therefore, you can manifest greater thing in your life than trying to be something you are not. Impossible to manifest great thing if you don't have that passion for what you do. Why there were so many people unhappy going to work 9 to 5? Because they are doing something they don't want to do. They don't like to. It just completely destroys their creativity, who they are. That's why some people have hobbies, because their work and their hobbies is two different worlds. Their hobbies is their passion, their work is just to make money. But isn't it better to create a society, a community, a people, that their hobbies is their work? Is their passion is their work? So at this time, of course, all of us meditating, we have to recognize who we are. We have to recognize this mission, this revelation, this truth is the salvation of man. This is the umbrella of the will of God. Now, where I fall in this umbrella? Where is my dharma? What is God's will for me in this overall will that is now revealed to humanity? If each of us can come to that point that truly understand and see why we have been guided to this truth and who we are and what we can do that help to create that environment which is not based on ego, but at the essence of the truth, of the nature of each of us, we have created the Kamis of Light. We have created the Kingdom of God on Earth. So, all these techniques, all these teachings, all this meditation, prayers, satsangs, service, chanting, dancing, all of this, of course, let he who likes to dance, dance with the Hari Om Shri Hang. Let he who likes to chant, chant Hari Om Shri Hang. Let he who likes to meditate, meditate on Hari Om Shri Hang. Let he who likes to do service for God. And the comings of light. If you like to dance, if you like to do the reminder, let them do the reminder. That's what they all has been given. But if you like the reminder and somebody else doesn't, it's okay. If somebody likes to dance and chant, let them love that and do that if they want. But of course, the more we do it together, in a greater degree, we will become one and our energy become closer to each other. If you don't like any of them, you like intellectual part of the mission and the science and the explanation of all the religions and how they have come together and are one, let them do that. And be satisfied with intellectual part of God. But those who experience God, of course, and overcome and become sons of God, they are the most humble and one with the spirit and their essence, and they can become great guides for humanity, and they are the guiding light of man for coming of the kingdom. They are the one that become Paraviprasas. They are the one that God called them elects. The who have given everything for every person to become, to follow. Becoming an elect and a Paravipra is not an ego trip. It's not something that, oh, I'm a Paravipra, everybody bow down in front of me. No, you are the servant of the community. You are the provider of the Spirit of God. You are the most humble. As Christ said, who is the greatest in the kingdom? He who is the humblest is the greatest. You see? How much ego still we have left to overcome? But that's okay. Don't let that prevent you from going to God. Some people say, I'm not ready. I'm not pure. I'm not perfect. Therefore, I'm not going to go to God. I'm afraid to go to God. No. You start going to God, and as you progress and you stumble and you pick yourself up and clean yourself and continue going, you will eventually reach the goal. By sitting somewhere and saying, no, I can't go. I'm not ready. I will fall. I will hurt myself. You're never going to get there. So we can see God is compassionate. God is the helper of the universe which has gone astray from the essence. And the goal is to return to light. And this creation is not light at all. It's a temporary place. That's why there is so much destruction and darkness in it. The sooner we see this truth and light, the sooner we can accelerate our march back to a still equilibrium, blissful state of being. I don't see any question or discussion in the room. Therefore, I end my... That always happens every week. At 11 o'clock, we start getting the questions, which is okay. As I said, if we have questions, of course, I will stay here longer and answer them. And a sponsor is asking, I signed the missions glossary about Edgar Cayce, and I have a book about him. Can you tell us how he is related or evolving the spiritual experience of the humanity? Yes, indeed, if you go to, actually, if you study our scripture, the holiest of the holies, you will also see his name in that book, relating him and explaining how he's channeling, or he's I don't want to get channeling because it has connotation of channeling the brotherhood and this thing. His revelation, I can say, his ability to fall asleep. I'm sure you know he fell asleep and he said a lot of wonderful things about healing people and the truth and all that. That was very helpful for the people to recognize a lot of things they didn't know. And what he did is called readings. That's interesting because that's exactly what Quran means. Quran means readings. And Prophet Muhammad also fell in kind of a trance and revealed the Quran to humanity and read, you know, the way he read it. So, what Edgar Cayce was revealing to humanity is God's reading, and what Prophet Muhammad was revealing to humanity also called readings. And both of them have a lot of truth that sent and brought to humanity for make them to see the thing they didn't know before. So that is what the relationship between him and the mission is, and it's one of the parts that it shows how God's spirit and ways doesn't change. Edgar Cayce was born from a mother, from a womb of a mother. Edgar Cayce also, grew up as a regular human, and he eventually became a sleeping prophet of the West, and he revealed a lot of truth. He wasn't a major manifestation. He didn't bring a new revelation or anything, but he clarified and bring a lot of truth to humanity. Hitham, have you been in our website? This the room of the conversation of the mission of Maitreya, and The whole idea is that you go to our website first, you study our teachings, and you come here and discuss the teachings. Have you been in our website? Yes or no? You cannot have the mic privilege. You can type your whatever you want to say in text, but if you have not been in our website, if you don't know much about our teachings, the decision has been that the people who will not have not been in our website and don't know the teaching will not have the mic privilege. I can see you typing anything, Hitam. All right, apparently, you know, either we're having a language problem. Okay, you can type. Can you hear me, Hitam? Okay, unless you answer me, we cannot help you very much there. Either typing text or... Okay, what is the eternal divine path? How many steps are in eternal divine path? Hitam? Huh? Tell me, how many... Okay, well, it didn't sound that he really had anything to say. He just come to the room and hold his hands up. So, okay. Yeah, he left. Okay, so I hope I answered your question, Spencer. So Edgar Cayce is a sleeping prophet of the U.S., and he did almost the same thing that Prophet Muhammad did. He went kind of asleep and trance and revealed a lot of truth to humanity. If there is no other questions, I again leave you guys to God, and this conversation, of course, will be running in the discourse room in a couple of hours, maybe. And you and everybody else can go and listen to them, and listen to them very carefully, and hopefully more and more you will become one with these teachings and revelations, and we will have the facilitating body together soon. Be with God, and be in God, and let God come through always. Salam, everybody. Maybe see you next week.